Good morning. It's crazy for me to think that we are growing. That 2 years ago, at the beginning of August, group, and be here, and God, it's been just amazing to see what has happened over the last 2 years. Blessed, and that it has been fantastic, and there has been moments when it has been just hard and everything, and yet we are here, and we are growing, and God is doing stuff, and my prayer has always been, my wife always gets mad at me. Well, she doesn't really get mad at me. She tells me to stop praying crazy, dangerous prayer. Pray like a couple of things, like, Lord, I want to know the power of your resurrection and the suffering. I want to know all of you, and so, and I want things to happen in such a way that, God, you're the only one that can spread it and everything. And keep being put in situations where that's how it works out and everything. And this church testament, I believe, to God getting the credit, because it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with massive building here and fancy. I mean, it is all God. To share, I think, where we've come from, but also to share where I think God is taking us. My heart cry has been my little like secret motto is William Carey is a great missionary, and he says expect from God and attempt great things. And that was our heart when we came here. That was the heart when we came down here, and we figured out like why God brought us here, to is that we expect from God, but then also just to step attempt great things. And so that's been kind of the heart of this church. That we say we believe that God wants more for us and wants more from us. Great. And explain anything other than power, because to me and me, that the only hope on the planet is the gospel. And it's God's love and it's God's grace on in this planet, in our own country, and around the world. From God, but we want to attempt things also. And so this morning, that's kind of what I want to talk about. I want to talk about this idea of having beautiful feet, just not necessarily me if I have my shoes, but that how beautiful are the feet news, the idea of our church and everything, and how over the last couple of years we've been grounded, we've been growing, where God wants to take us now. You have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 10. If you don't have Bibles, we have one. If you just raise your hand, we can hand those to you. If you don't own one, you can have it. It's yours. Use electronic devices. We have a Wi-Fi here. It says GBC guest. Type in and excuse me. Follow along with us right there. But as we always say, and as we believe here at this church, that the only authority that any of us has to speak authority is the ultimate answer to know of how to live, how to know God, supposed to look like for God. So out of respect for that, and out of understanding that these are here today, that I'm going to ask, just out of respect and acknowledgement of that, if you'll stand with me as we read out of Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 13, Paul writes this. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Will you pray with me? God, I just thank you for this morning. God, thank you for what you've brought us through. God, for your faithfulness, for allowing us to come together, God, to establish this church. God, I thank you that every week we see visitors. We see people from all around the world. God, we see people coming in, God, and you just keep drawing them. Father, we know that none of this happens without you. And so, God, this morning I pray, God, I ask, I beg that you would speak. God, it would be your words, not mine. I don't even have the words this morning, Father. God, there's so much chaos and craziness in all of our lives right now. Father, I pray that you would just settle our spirits. God, that you would give us ears to hear and give us hearts to respond. That we would be encouraged today, that we would be challenged. And God, most of all, that we would be changed. Father, overwhelm us with your presence today. Overwhelm us with your grace. God, may the words of my mouth be pleasing you. May they be your words and not mine. Hide me. And may you get all the glory. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I said, this has been kind of a crazy week for us as a family, and just a lot of stuff and everything. And my wife, back and doing all stuff and trying to get things and chaos going on. So I can honestly tell you, I'm not absolutely completely sure what's going to come out of my mouth this morning. Because I have been praying literally constantly for the last 4 days. God, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. And so you just have to speak. And so if ever there was a time probably not to podcast, it may be this Sunday, or a time to podcast, it may be this Sunday. It can go either way. So I want you to know to be on your feet or be ready for it. I'm not sure. I'm overwhelmed this morning with the idea of God allowing us to come together and meet as a church. Like I said, you know, 2 years ago, it's a little like a week over 2 years ago, August 2nd, 2015, we had resigned from our church in Clarence. We knew everything was done, and I looked at my wife, where are we going to go to church this Sunday? And she says, well, why don't we just start? Put it out on Facebook, and 8 people showed up at my house. I have that picture still on my computer. Look at all 8 people showed up at my house, and what as a dream and an idea of a church needed 40 people, and we're that's AC. Sorry about that, but but we're here, and God keeps moving. And so, but in all of this, as I was looking at this before we even start going into it, there's some questions that are always worth asking in our life. Questions in our faith that we need to continue to ask. At all on, there are questions that I love that Paul says. He says, turn back to Romans chapter. And really the idea of the message of salvation. Paul's, he spent almost all saying, here's why we, and I love, no matter who you are, what your background, whatever is going on, your bank account, anything, everybody is holding common. We all need this. More special, not a better, harder. We need that a Savior. We can't do it on our own. And so Paul has made this kind of argument all the way through Romans, and he gets through chapter 10. And I love that he says in 13, he says, now everyone who calls on the name there's nothing that we Christ has done for us on the cross. He paid our penalty, and then he rose again. And so when he that's a high, an amen. Okay, everyone who calls, well then, how then will they call on him who, and how are they to believe in him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I love that Paul kind of closes this with that, because that's out of Isaiah. This picture of that, how beautiful the people that are obedient that says yes. So the question first, how will they know? That was the question we asked here when we moved down. And it's funny because we couldn't find a house anywhere. This was the only place. It's really interesting to me how we just keep going full circle in that. That we were so dependent on God. I said, God, we can't find it. So we moved down here. I've got to be honest with you. We didn't want to move to Four Corners. I was happy getting a regular paycheck and having a little home and all stuff. And, like, I used to drive kids from here all the way up to, like, my daughter used to live down here. And, like, I don't want to live down there. And what's going on about it? And my wife saying, we're not even unpacking. And we started asking questions. why are we here? Why did you move us here? And I asked questions like, well, where do people and finding out that a lot of churches within 3 miles of where you're right now are 30,000 people. Within 100,000 people. Word of it gets millions and millions and millions. There were 68 million people in the world. And just there weren't a lot of churches. And so God, how will they know? You know, we had it, people acting stupid and cruel and being mean. They don't know better. They don't know Jesus. They know someone they do. You know the United States is fourth most unreached nation on the planet. I mean, you talk about it. And the question is, where can they look? Where are they going to go to look? Because unfortunately, we know there's a lot of churches and they're just kind of a health and wealth or just like, I just want to tickle you and stuff, but they're not teaching truth. And so where are they going to go? I think God created this church, this organism called the church of people that are and broken to go out and share the gospel and represent the gospel and do this. Where will they look if there's not a church? If there's not his church, because there's a lot of churches, but not all of them are his church. And then the final question is, then who? Oh, who's willing to step out? You know, that's gone all through Scripture. Isaiah, he said he saw God. He said, I am a man go to me. And God says, who will we send? So who will we go? Who will go? Because there's so much more. There's so many out there that don't know. There's so much hope, not hope, and there's so much hurt, and there's so much brokenness. So who will go into that? Because lost people in this world, it's a messy place. Broken people are messy. A broken world is messy. Am I right? See. And that's not always the nicest place to go. You want to go where everybody's happy. Disney World and live. Magic doesn't cry. There is a difference. I mean, many people I've met that went to Disney World for a week and family was happy, everything was perfect, and it was magical, and so we're going to move there because it's going to save my family. And the truth is that magic is $192. And so who will go into those places? And so really that is why we made this church. That's why God led us here. And that's why we're here today. And so my heart, if God, and I look at all the churches that we've been involved in over 30 years, all the ministry positions, what do we need to set? The first thing we decided and the first thing we have to understand is that your life, whether it's church life or personal life, has to be grounded. It has to be grounded. And there are so many people that think they're grounded, but they're not. Look, turn to Matthew 7. We found a little bit this morning. But in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus, at the end of the greatest sermon ever preached, after he has said all these amazing things, kind of comes to them all. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house. And the rain fell and the rain came and the wind beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rain. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a foolish man. And the rain came and blew and beat against that house and it fell. And listen, I just want to say, in this church's life, in anyone's life, if your foundation is in a rock, foundation, you're on sand. time one of those storms come in off, it's going to got to be found in the that's constantly firm. It is constant that the firm on the hope and the knowledge of who Jesus is in my life. It doesn't matter what else the foundation. And so how do we, as a church, how do we get grounded as people? The very first thing we have to understand is that Christ is in charge. He's sovereign. It doesn't matter what's happening on this planet. It doesn't matter who's threatening to fire what missile, because in all that, God, Christ is in charge. And so there's nothing to fear about what's on the news. They want you to be afraid because that's going to make you watch it more. And they want you here, and your life is all that, but Christ is the church. If we preach anything other than Christ, we are no longer the church. And so we made that decision right off the bat. I love this. In Colossians 1:18, it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." And so 2 years ago, we made a decision that if we're going to be a church, we're going to talk about Jesus. And that's not the most popular thing to talk about. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's hard. And sometimes we look at it and say, well, I love Jesus and everything, but life is really bad. And Jesus says, I know. I told you it was going to be. In this world, you have troubles, but I've overcome the world. And so Christ has to be the starting point in our lives. I said at the beginning, it says, the thing is that we all need a Savior. We all need someone to kind of, we need someone to save us because we can't save ourselves. We can't fix our issues. And that's Christ, and he makes the head. In this church, he's the lead pastor. I'm an under-shepherd. He's the head shepherd. He's in charge. And that's the way we decided it was going to be. No matter what that looks like, we can tip ears, we can say what people want, or we can tell them about Jesus and what they need. And so Christ is always, always the head. And it has to be in our lives, and it has to be in the life of this church. But not only that, as some people probably getting tired of me saying, but this is the only authority to speak. His words. That this book, this is why I'm always harping on you. It's like, get into God's word. You open it up, start studying, start reading it. Find out for yourself. Prove me wrong if I say something wrong. Or prove me right, but just test it, read it, study it, memorize it. Get it into your heart and do that, because this is the authority. And if I speak anything other than these words, then I have no right to stand on this platform. We believe with all our heart that that is the authority. In fact, it's the only thing that's going to change lives. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. These are the words of life. What I have to say doesn't even come close to what this has to say. And so as a church and as a person, as a father, as a husband, this is my authority. This is what grounds us. And again, that's not always popular, because there's all types of people in the world saying, well, it didn't really say that, or it doesn't, well, you know, well, it doesn't mean that anymore. I believe, my Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. And so this doesn't change. Culture may change. Popularity of things may change, but this doesn't change. And unfortunately, the day is coming. This is going to be hate speech instead of what it truly is, a letter of love to all of God's creation. And so the word is our authority. And then finally, that first year, we really, it all has to be all about Jesus. Always preach the word. Always ready to do that. And then finally, we understand that we're stronger together. Yeah, there's this thing going on. It's been happening probably for the last of people just saying, you know, I don't really go to church. I'm good. I can just stay home and by myself. And I just show me in Scripture where it says that. See, because if you read, like, the New Testament, everything about in the New Testament is about God's church, and that's the local church. All those letters Paul wrote were to the local church. And the church is the idea that we come together, that every one of us has an ability, every one of us has a position, that God has planted in us a purpose when we're together, to build that up, and we do more ourselves. I love it. I love Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. The author of Hebrews writes this, and let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. Not neglecting together, as is the habit of some, but all the more as you see the day drawing near. We are called to come and stir one another up, to be part of a local body, to commit. This is why we do a covenantal relationship. Every month or so, we have a class called Discover Grace Baptism. About our history and where we've come from and where we think and everything. But then if you want to join us, we want to sign a covenant. I signed the covenant as pastor. I'm not just pastor. I'm a member of this church. That all of us come in a covenant agreement that there are responsibilities, that we are here to edify. It's not a prerequisite to come to church. But it is a statement that says, I believe God's called me here to be part of a family, to do something beyond myself that he wants to do in the world. And we are always stronger together. Always stronger together. I love that every time someone joins a tree, a leaf gets attached to that tree. It's going to blossom and be full. And I look forward to that day. Because the more leaves there are, the more things that we're able to do for God's glory and not ours. And we believe that and stuff, but we understand that, yeah, it takes people saying, listen, this is where I belong. And so it's really the first year of us, of just saying, what's this going to look like? How are we going to govern ourselves? All this stuff, and we're going to set this foundation from the very start. How are we going to disciple people? All that stuff came. And then the next year, this past year, over and over again saying, we need to grow. We need to grow. And I know some people said, well, you just want more people. And said, yeah, well, but it's growth, not just width, but in depth. We need to grow in our understanding of who God is. We need to understand what's going on in our lives. Because the fact of the matter is, I, every year, should be able to look back and say, this way, I'm this much closer to Jesus. I look a little bit more like him. I'm acting more like in according to his will. And so there should be growth every year. If there's not growth, then there's a problem. When a plant refuses to grow, it's we are called to grow and grow and grow. And I love that Paul says this. Paul gives this. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Turn over there with me. Philippians chapter 3. I love Paul that wrote most of the New Testament, that planted more churches and got more things started for the kingdom than any of us could ever imagine. In Philippians 3, in verse 12, he says, not that I've already attained this or am already perfect. Not that I've got it made, and unfortunately, there's too many people in churches today that think like, hey, I've got it all, I'm good, I can just sit here now and just coast the rest of the way. That's why I retire. By the way, can I tell you, the only retirement mentioned in the Bible is absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's the only retirement mentioned in God's kingdom. And that day's not here yet, and so as long as there's breath in us, as long as there's blood still flowing, even if it's flowing slow, my grandfather said, my blood flows slow. That's why he kept a bottle of Jack Daniels. It's for the blood, son. It helps the blood flow. I'm like, granddad, your blood's flowing really good because that bottle was full yesterday. But as long as it's flowing, and you still have growth to happen. And so he says, I haven't obtained this. I'm not perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What that means is that we're moving forward. We're becoming more like him. We are growing and we continue to move forward. And if we're not moving forward, then we're stagnant. What happens to water when it's not moving? It becomes undrinkable. We are called to always be moving forward. And so as we said this year, we want to grow, but we want to be growing by moving forward in our own faith and knowing that. And so it starts with the depth of our faith. Are you more in love with Jesus? Do you know more about him today than you did a year ago? Because if not, there's an issue, there's a problem. Because we're supposed to grow in this. I love Ephesians 3, 18 and 19 says this. Paul says, after all this stuff, after growing all these things, he says, may we have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what we're created for. That's what this relationship is about. It's not about making you a better person. It's about restoring a relationship with your Creator, about becoming full of everything that God ever intended for you when He made you. That's the more that we're talking about. This is, I understand more about God, I understand more about me and this planet, and I have faith and I have courage and I have strength to do it because I'm growing and I'm getting deeper in my faith. There are too many Christians, too many churches that are staying in the shallow end. When my kids were little, it was fun. Little wade thing just up to my knees, and they would just splash around, but they wanted to get to the deep end. They wanted just like, I want to get to the deep end. I want to dive off that diving board, Dad. I want to dive in and just all the way under. You know, when I was a kid, that was the kind of the game we play. Who could sit on the bottom of the deep end the longest? Because we wanted to get in the deep end. That's how it has to be with our faith. God, help us if we stay in the shallow end. We don't do anything in the shallow end. It's in the deep water where we grow. And so our faith has to get deeper. Our faith has to get deeper. But not only that, as our faith gets deeper, an amazing thing happens. Our lives start transforming. We start looking different. Can I tell you, one of my biggest pet peeves about American Christianity, so many people say, I love Jesus and I follow Jesus. I've got a t-shirt, I've got a cross and everything. And great on Sunday morning, but they look no different when they're out there on Monday through Saturday. Does it make any sense to me that Christ would come just to save me for a Sunday morning and not for every day of the week? That there shouldn't be a difference in the way that I live, in the way that I act and I approach things? Look, I love this. In Romans 12:2, Paul writes this. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. There's too many of us that say, listen, I want to sing the songs and I want to feel good on Sunday, but I want to fit in on Monday through Saturday. And it doesn't work. As the deeper, the closer I get to Christ, the stranger I start looking to the world. I love this. We did a series, and I've always said this from the start. That in Corinthians, Paul writes, God uses the foolish thing to confound the wise. I'm a fulfillment of that prophecy. People, and I've looked 2 years and said, you're an idiot. What are you doing there? Go pay or go live. Why are you living in Florida? It's 107 degrees out of the sun. You live where it's 80. Week, I saw the perfect place to move the church. It's on a mountain in North Carolina. It was 80 degrees all week long. It's like, it's a commute, but man, after this week, I was like, that may be worth it, Lord. I feel called. But it's crazy because your life doesn't match what the world says. It doesn't matter what you do, all about you. Get as much as you can. Fill your bank accounts. Fill your popularity, get everything you want, and do all that. And Jesus says, no, give it all away, surrender to me, and start serving everyone else. And when we're growing in Christ, we start looking like Jesus. And that's what the world needs. I had a friend, a boss, when I first started ministry, he says, Liz, you have one goal. Jesus was God in flesh to the world. Now that he's back in heaven, you are Jesus. You are Jesus in flesh to everyone around you. You got to start looking like him. And that was our heart, that we would grow, and our lives would be transformed. And when that happens, here's the cool thing. When we start getting deeper in our faith, when our lives start looking more like Jesus and stuff, then the church starts expanding. Seeing the things that God sees. Then we see God start moving because he's moving in our lives and in our family's lives. And we're like, I don't want to keep this to myself. I want to see this grow. And we see the church starting to expand. Look, Matthew 28:19, you probably heard this before. Go, Therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, find a church, get in a room, and keep it secret. We don't want people to know that we're having fun loving Jesus. We don't want to, we don't want peace, and there's hope, and there's promise, and there's this church expand. This is my prayer today, is that God, prayer every day is, God, would you church so much planet. Because the more you send to us, the more we can do. And he's done that, 8 to 40 in 2 years. And the thing that we do now, 2 years ago, when I was sitting there with 8 people in my room, in my living room, and the days when there that showed up, and just saying, okay, God. And now I see what happens as God just expands his kingdom. And it's not about the name of Grace Baptist. Listen, there's only going to be one church one day with one pastor. His kingdom is the only kingdom that's going to last. Every other kingdom, the United States, every other kingdom on this planet that thinks they're in charge and large and in control are in the way. There's only one kingdom that's going to last, so why don't we build that kingdom here in Four Corners? And so we grow. And so after all of that, where do we go from here? Where does a church in its terrible twos going into its third year go from here? And I think that's exactly what happens. We start going. See, I think we need to get outside the walls. I love that video in the beginning that church, this is what's happening. We've seen that. But outside the church, there's so much more that needs to happen. Turn to Acts 1. This is a great picture. Jesus has been resurrected. He's talking to his disciples. They're sitting here going, wow, you're back. This is great. So, Lord, are you going to set up your kingdom now? Are you, you're in charge, so we don't have to do anything else. We don't have to worry about the Romans. We don't have to worry all that stuff. He said, you to know the times. It's fixed by authority. Listen, I'm going to tell you, sometime this year, we're going to do a study through Revelation. It's going to take me probably the most of the year to get it all together. But we're going to go through Revelation. We're going to talk about the times and everything. When the news says someone's got a nuclear missile and someone's threatening this or someone's doing that or this country's doing this or that country, God is still in control. It's his time to return. He's going to return no matter what we think of it or not. All the way to the back of this book. You know, I'm going to tell you, read book before you read the rest of it, because we win. It's all taken care of. It's already, you don't have to really worry about that. But he says this in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses at the end of the earth. See, we are called as a church to go. If we are not the church outside, we are never going to be outside. There are too many churches that are so focused on building their buildings and building their kingdom and having their budgets and everything, and they're not worried about outside and what's happening to the families and the people that are lost and are hurting, that they no longer can be called a church. Because the church God created was to be the hope of the world, to carry the hope of the world. And so we are called to go. And so I want to give you some things that I'm praying for this year. I'm praying that we become a going church. And here's we have to start. You just got to start. And so here's something simple. Start here. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Galatians 6:9. Can I tell you that it's harder than it says? I can tell you honestly, church, this week I wanted to give up. There are moments that I'm just, and I'm tired. But it says, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary into going and sharing the gospel. co-workers and with people around. Don't grow weary in us coming together and praying for the church, the world around. Don't grow weary in finding ways to serve the community. Don't grow weary, because if we don't give up, in season, we reap. So we start there. We start there by giving up. Because my Bible says, you know, there's no burnout in the Bible. I know that's a phrase with pastors and with ministries, like it's a ministry burnout. They're burned out and stuff. But my Bible says that if we trust him, if we don't, we'll mount up on wings of eagles, that we will run and not grow faint, that we will walk and not grow weary. And so we don't give up. We start there and say, God, first, man, let us do good. You know how much good needs to be done? Yesterday we had a block party. It was the most effective block party we had all summer. I gotta tell you something, but we didn't give up. After the first one in June, no one probably would have blamed me and says, we're not doing any more block parties. When our tent down in a lightning storm, so my wife looks at me and says, he doesn't have life insurance. He's going to die out there. And all my elders were sitting undercover going, you're right out there. God bless you. I'll pray for you. But it was... had three people show up, and then we're like, we're going to back it up and do a water war and stuff. And then we had a group of maybe like 16 kids show up. And so this month I'm like, okay, God, we committed to this. We're not going to grow weary. We handed out 30 bags of supplies yesterday. Found kids and said, hey, you want a free snow cone and some school supplies? And all of a sudden, wherever God has called you. God, we did all summer, we talked about being part of ministry teams, and you guys have been so faithful in signing up for those and taking charge of this. You don't give up. You're part of that. And so we don't grow weary. We start here. We start here. This is our Jerusalem. But as we're here, we need to start seeing bigger. That's the problem sometimes. We get locked to kind of narrow focus. We need to start seeing bigger. Look, I love this. In Luke 10:2, Jesus said, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in his harvest. There's a harvest out there that you can't imagine. There are people waiting for something that brings hope. They're waiting for someone to say, yes, there's purpose in your life, and there's peace in your life that's available to you, and there's a direction in your life that's available to you if you will just stop and look. But the laborers are few. Man, we need to start getting a bigger vision of our community and of the world around us. If God took 12 disciples, where one of them betrayed him, he was down to them, they all went away. If he took those guys, smart mouths, disloyal, and them and change the world, what could he do with 30 or 40 people? God, there's a harvest, send us. And that's the good news. We don't do anything, we just show up. God does all the work. And so we need to start praying for a bigger, we need to see bigger. We need to see the thousands of people living right behind us and in walking distance. We need to see the 1,000 people living at Kagan's Creek and all these. We need growth that is happening around us. 12 growth here in the next 5 years. It's the fastest growing area. There are families coming in all over here. We need to start seeing, and we need to start praying, God, man, there's a harvest there, but the laborers are few. We need more. Give us more, God. Expand our territory. And then finally, this year, we got to go boldly. If God's in control, if God has a plan at all, if God does all the work, then why would we be timid in not going boldly to our neighbors, to the world around us? We need to go boldly. I love this. Psalms 96:3, declare the glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. You know, we get an opportunity this year to give to the international missions and be a part of that as a small church. And we'll have time this year to give to national missions, the North American, all through America, and give to missions there. And that's awesome. And we have missions that, man, we have a heart for. There are churches in Cuba that just need people praying for them that we and connect with. There's a church in New Jersey that is reaching Muslim people and Middle Eastern people, and we want to, like, how do we connect with them and all this stuff. But here's the thing. I love that God says, declare his word to the nations. We live in a community. Nations are coming to us. 64 million people came here. I want a map on the back. We have people from Australia here. We've had people from Great Britain here. We've had people from South America here. We've had people from the islands here. We've had people from all the world here, and we may only get them one Sunday, but the nations are coming here, and so it's our job to be bold and declare his glory among all of them. Man, we need to be praying. We need to start a Hispanic service. We got a ton of Spanish-speaking people. There are so many people that looked at me yesterday going, just smiling, saying, I have no idea what you're saying. And so either I got to learn Spanish or we need to get somebody that probably already knows how to speak it because I'm going to mess it up something. Declare his glory. We need to go boldly. We need to be a church that sends. And I love that Mark and Alice are here. I love that before we were 2 years old, we had a that we could send out as missionaries. Have a lot of resources, but man, we're praying for you guys. And we're excited that you stream. We want to see more people. We need more churches. Unless a church has over 14,000 people, church for every 14,000 people in Central Florida. So unless we have a church with 14,000 people, we need more churches. And so we need to be praying, God, how do we send and start churches around the corner down Avalon where there are thousands and thousands of homes coming up and no churches over there? How do we put more churches over there, more people coming in? So we need to go boldly. I love Mike Statura says this, the mark of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. I don't know. I don't know God's plans for all this church. It's going to work out. Start moving to space and to grow and expand. I don't know how he's going to deal. But I don't know how. I don't need to know when. I just know who, and that's God. Your life and what's going on there, you don't need to know how. You don't need to know when. You just need to know who. I read once again, I've got things because I know it and I'm struggling. God is a God of promises and he's never broken one. And has his will says that this would expand and grow and just bigger than anybody could imagine. Then it's for his glory and it's for his purpose, not mine. Let it be. But I know whether we are 40 or we are 4,000, God has called us to be grounded, to grow, and to go. That may be across the street. That may be in your work cubicle. That may be right around the corner, but we're called to go. And that's my heart for us. How beautiful are the feet that carry good news. Can I tell you this? I'm corny, but I want. Boom, and there's something different. News. We do that. Christ as the head. His our. And us being obedient to. We're at. So, listen, I have no idea how. But I know somewhere in this, I know there's stuff for me. I just want to give a chance to respond. We just want to give you a chance to praying together, saying, you know, God, we're all in. Man, we talked about that last week about standing. Are you all in? What's coming, to what God wants, or are you all in your life? Maybe it's getting says, man, I want a life that's grounded, and I want to experience that. Okay, just if you don't know him this morning, you're never going to know that life. You never. Maybe it's there. Maybe it's just acknowledging chance to respond. The band's going to come up, and we're going to sing and worship together. There's our prayer. You can respond through time. Whatever it is, let God have his work. Even when the pastor's not really sure what he's saying, none of us, it's not about you, it's about God and what he wants for us. And so I'm going to pray for you. Whatever God, let him do. And let's see what happens.